today marks the 5th of Dhul-Hijjah. And last week, we went through several virtues of the 10 days, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Mentioned around six elements that make this day, these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah significant in comparison to the rest of the year. He mentioned amongst the narrations was that Rasulullah mentions مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظُمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحَبُّ لِلَّهِ أَنْ أَعْمَلُ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ أَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ, that there are no more days which are more honorable and noble in the sight of Allah, no more beloved to Him to do actions, to do a'mal, good deeds in, than these 10 days. Allah mentions this, that these are the most honorable, most noble days of the year, these 10 days. They mention that they even discuss that the last 10 nights of Ramadan, do these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, are they superior to those 10 nights or not? And the scholars opine, Ibn Rajab, etc., they write, yes, they are more virtuous, they have increased significance. However, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, they contain a night which is the best night of the year, Laylatul Qadr. That's a specific night. However, 10 days as a whole, they form the best, these 10 days form the best 10 days of the year. They also mention that Allah takes an oath by something in the Quran, wal asr. He takes an oath by time, wal asr. And time is something that is of the essence. Person passes away, whatever action he's done is done. His book of deeds from what he's done himself will now close. Of course, the actions that remain, whether it's da'wah, whether it's sadaqah jariyah, that will continue for those that continue reaping those rewards. However, his actions for himself, his inherent, those actions he committed himself are now closed. So Allah swears by this time, wal asr. Now think, Allah is also swearing by these 10 days, wa layalin ashr, the 10 nights mentioned over here. But Imam Shafi'i, Ibn Abbas, Allahu anhuma, and many others, they opine that the 10 that's being referenced over here are the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Again, showing the significance of these 10 days. Then, also, these 10 days, many individuals were not able and are not able to perform Hajj. Allah mentioned in the Quran, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, those who are capable, meaning they got financial provisions, they have the health to do it, they have the means, the conveyance. Many individuals, especially looking at the current economy, many people are finding it difficult. So about £20,000 package for many, £25,000 package. So some, for many, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and for many others, it may not even be possible for them. So Hajj is somewhat, unlike Ramadan, Ramadan is for everyone. Unlike that, Hajj is a little more for those who possess the capabilities for that. Now these 10 days are a replacement, as some scholars may mention, that these 10 days are a replacement for those that are not able to do Hajj. Even if a person manages to go for Hajj, he may do it maybe a couple of times in his lifetime, maybe a few times in his lifetime. But there will be more years when he's incapable of performing Hajj. These 10 days are a replacement for those that are not able to go for Hajj. Then number 5, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would fast the 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, because the 10th is Yawm al-Nahr, is a day of Eid, which we cannot fast. Rasulullah would fast these 9 days. And why is that significant? Why is that important? Why is that different? Rasulullah was not known to fast consecutively. Mondays, Thursdays, the Ayyamul Bidh, yes. When Ramadan consecutively, yes. And Sha'ban is muftalafi, is disputed whether it was consecutive or not. So, whereas for these 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, Rasulullah was known to fast them consecutively. Which shows again, this was contrary to the habit of Rasulullah, showing something significant about these 10 days, well, the 9 days to fast therein, that Rasulullah is breaking his habit for them. Then number 6, side dispute narration, which mentions that there is no action a person does on Yawm al-Nahr, on the day of Eid, more beloved to Allah than the slaughter. That on the day of judgment, they will come with their hooves, they will come with their hair, they will come with their hooves, and their adlaf, their body, and the blood. When the blood that drops before that it touches the ground, they will be forgiven. So these are rewards of these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Now, before I move on to the actual day of Arafah, because we're not going to have another talk before the day of Arafah, we're going to talk specifically on the 9th. I'll just mention one thing about this, about the day of Arafah, to give a little more significance to show these 10 days. One Jew came to Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said to Umar radiallahu anhu, إِنَّكُمْ تَقْرَأُونَ آيَةً. You recite a verse, you have a verse by you. لَوْ نَزَلَتْ فِينَا لَتَّخَذْنَاهَا عَيْدًا. If it was revealed to us, we would have taken that day as a day of Eid, as a day of celebration. In commemoration of that day, we would celebrate that day annually. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, he mentioned the verse, which is, well, I'll mention it, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَنْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Then Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned that إِنِّي لَأَعْنَمُ حِينَ أُنزِلَتْ. I know when it was revealed. وَأَيْنَ أُنزِلَتْ. Where it was revealed. وَأَيْنَ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَيْثُ أُنزِلَتْ. And where Rasulullah SAW was situated when it was revealed. And then he's showing the emphasis that you're mentioning this verse, that if it was revealed to you, you would commemorate that day. But he said, I know exactly where it was revealed, when it was revealed, and in which situation Rasulullah ﷺ was in when he came to him. And he mentioned that it was the day of Arafah. The day it was the day of Arafah, which was الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ لِينَكُمْ. Allah mentioned that today I have completed for you your faith. Meaning that the previous nations, none of them had a promise or none of them had the verse in their scripture to mention of the completion of their faith. There was always a message from that prophet to say, there will be somebody to succeed me. There will be a successor. However, this was amongst the final verses, if not the final verse, to be revealed in the Quran. And he said that you have this verse of completion, where Allah, God, of course, even though he doesn't believe in Islam, he's mentioning that verse you have of completion, we do not have. So, and this was on the day of Arafah, again showing the significance, showing the importance of the day of Arafah, wherein this verse of the completion of deen, the completion of the faith, where no other sharia, no other law is now going to succeed this, no other law is going to come to change this, and no other prophet is going to come. Now, the day of Arafah, I mentioned certain things. What can we do on the day of Arafah to maximize and gain from that day? I mentioned last week about one action that's simple but has an astounding spiritual impact. How many rewards can we think of, or how many ahadith can we mention that mention the previous year's sins and the upcoming year's sins being forgiven? But for the day of Arafah, one day for the day of Arafah, Rasulullah mentions that صيام يوم عرفة إني أحتسب على الله أن يكفر سنة التي قبله وسنة التي بعده, that I have hope in the mercy of Allah that the previous year's sins will be forgiven and the upcoming year's sins will be forgiven. Now that's not to say immunity, that a person can do whatever he pleases. Rather, one, there's a reward for this day, but additionally, that the individual who is particular of this act, person to fast on the day of Arafah, it's not Ramadan. There's not a culture of fasting on that day. You see, in Ramadan, everyone's fasting. There's an environment to it. There's a culture of it. The masajid are being filled. The day of Arafah is not like that. So when individuals are fasting, there's this level of sincerity. There's something within them that they've got to display to be particular about deen to fast on that day. Do we see every individual fasting on the day of Arafah like we see in Ramadan? No. The culture isn't there. The norm isn't there. The social atmosphere isn't there. But people will be particular about deen to say that the reward is in this. Rasulullah's habit was upon this. The hujjaj are there doing on the plains of Arafat. Let me fast on this day. It shows the person has a particular concern about deen, a particular regard for deen. So the individual that has this will be more particular about the sins being committed. So that's not to say that the individual won't be, his minor sins won't be forgiven. The narration mentions that the previous year's sins will be forgiven and the upcoming year's sins will be forgiven. And again, like we mentioned, that Fajr is at 1:30 beginning time, and Maghrib is at 9:43. So the fasts are long. So many, many people that are working may have been incapable of fasting the first 8 days, but at least the 9th of Arafah. I understand that the fast is long, but the reward behind it, the impact, the spiritual impact is astounding. At least target the 9th day, I mean 9th day of Dhul Hijjah, meaning the day of Arafah, which is Tuesday. Upcoming Tuesday, fasting on that day. Number one was fasting. Number two, we mentioned that this has a spiritual impact of sins being forgiven. Now, that's just, but this is significant where the previous year and the upcoming year's sins are being forgiven. Yet, additionally to this, a person can gain freedom for his entire future on this day. Meaning, that there's not a day where a greater number of souls are freed from Jahannam than the day of Arafah. There's not a day wherein Shaytan is humiliated greater than the day of Arafah, except for the day of Battle of Badr, except for that, where he is disgraced and humiliated greater. Because the number of individuals that are forgiven, and the number of individuals who are freed and emancipated from Jahannam. So if we're not just talking about the previous year's sins forgiven, and the upcoming year's sins forgiven, but an entire transformation of a person's life, wherein they gain freedom from Jahannam. The narration exactly is, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. That there is not a day wherein a greater number of souls are freed from Jahannam than the day of Arafah. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُ. Allah's mercy draws closer. His mercy draws closer. ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then he competes. Mubahat is sort of when a person is proudly challenges to say, who can do this? You know, a person says that, or who can challenge me in this combat? So Allah challenges the angels to say, look at my servants that are worshipping. He says to the angels to show the significance of this, look at my servants. And he asks, although he knows what they want, he'll say, مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاءِ. What do my servants want? The angel mentioned forgiveness. They will be given forgiveness. This is the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah. And in fact, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, writes that on the day of Arafah, the people that are in the Hujjaj, the pilgrims, for them and for us it's rewarding, so it's not just limited to them. But for the non-pilgrims, why he extends the reward to the non-pilgrims, meaning those that aren't going for Hajj, why he extends it to them and says, everyone has a day of Eid. The Hujjaj and the non-pilgrims, everyone has a day of Eid. Yawm al-Nahr, everyone has a tenth day of Eid. Yet the Hujjaj, we understand because they are in the plains of Arafat. For us, the reason why he mentions that why we have the day of Eid is because we still have the day of Arafat. We may not be in the plains of Arafat, but the spiritual day of Arafah, in commemoration and celebration of that day, we still have the day of Eid. Again, that's also the history of Ibrahim alayhi salam, etc. Not disregarding that. But he's mentioned that the day of Arafah alone has the such that we have the day of Eid. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was among the Kufan ulama, Sufyan Thawri also. And he was with Sufyan Thawri rahmahullah on the day of Arafah, on the plains of Arafat, with him, and he saw him weeping on the evening. He saw him weeping bitterly, profusely. Again, these are great, great scholars of the past, second century Islam. So, Abdul Mubarak asked him in that scenario, who is the worst situation amongst these masses? Meaning all these people are here gathered, crying, making dua, here pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking emancipation, freedom from Jahannam. Who is the worst in this situation? Meaning, we couldn't think, like, is it the person who's not doing worship? Is it the person that's, you know, wasting time? Is it the person who's asleep? He said, no. It's the one that thinks that Allah will not forgive him. The one who thinks that Allah will not forgive him. Meaning, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not be despondent on the mercy. Do not become despondent from the mercy of Allah. Whatever we have done, if we've taken somebody else's right, if we have insulted somebody, if we've been in an impermissible relationship, if we are in an impermissible relationship, if we are taking somebody's right away, if we are not performing our salah, it's a day to gain proximity and closeness to Allah. As I mentioned, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُ. Allah's mercy draws closer. Allah's mercy is close anyway. But imagine that it's mentioned in the hadith, لَيَدْنُ is drawing closer. It's coming in our direction. It's a day wherein the greatest number of souls are being freed from Jahannam. Emancipation. Shaytan is being humiliated on this day. A day wherein we can return, meaning a person's sins for the previous year and the upcoming year can be forgiven. This can be life-changing for us on the day of Arafah. Whatever sins we are committing, whatever sins we have committed, use that as an opportunity to spiritually connect. Ninth, which is Tuesday. Additionally, I mentioned that in Ramadan, what was the hallmark of Ramadan? It was the Quran. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month in which the Qur'an was revealed. What's the hallmark of these 10 days? Is dhikr. For the Hujjaj, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, etc. For us, there's a narration that mentions that خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ دُعَاءُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ. The best dua is the dua made on the day of Arafah. As we say, making dua on that day, which I'm going to come to the next point. وَقَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ The best that I have said and what the prophets before me say is لا إله إلا واحدة لا شريك له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. So frequently recite this on the day of Arafah, on the ninth. لا إله واحدة لا شريك له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. This is the specific, specific dhikr, the more that remembrance for that day. It's not today, again, do many different narrations of dhikr, but specifically on that day, لا إله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير and third كلمة سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. The reason why we mentioned that one also is a narration that mentions about the most beloved actions of these 10 days, mentions at the end of it فأكثروا فيهن من التسبيح والتهليل والتحميد, frequent سبحان الله الحمد لله لا إله إلا الله including الله أكبر, but doing these أذكار on that day. So on the 9th, again throughout these 10 days, but particularly on that 9th where Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned this dua. So we mentioned fasting, we mentioned dhikr, and mentioned istighfar and seeking emancipation and freedom from Jahannam. Now dua. Rasulullah ﷺ, we need to imagine the final hajj of Rasulullah ﷺ. If Rasulullah passes away at the age of 63, he must have been in his 60s. In his 60s, Rasulullah ﷺ, at that age, coming from Medina to Mecca, he now delivers an emotional and powerful sermon. I remember, 60s. Delivers a powerful sermon. He leaves the companions in Dhuhr and Asr. It's emotional. It's powerful. It's a powerful moment. Rasulullah ﷺ is now heading towards Jabal al-Rahmah. Everyone is watching because nobody knows what's going to happen now. Everyone's watching Rasulullah ﷺ. What is he going to do? Remember, people have got this atmosphere to know that Rasulullah's final hajj, there's this atmosphere. So what is Rasulullah ﷺ going to do? Rasulullah ﷺ is walking towards there. Everyone is looking at Rasulullah ﷺ. And he engages in dua for 6 hours. 60s. Traveling from Medina to Mecca, not in a conveyance like how we are, with a vehicle, you know, or many might catch a flight, however they do it, or even a coach. Rasulullah ﷺ traveling in his 60s, delivering a powerful sermon, being aware of everything that's ongoing, because remember, people are still coming to you for guidance. All of this, Rasulullah ﷺ is now raising his hands in dua for 6 hours. You know, sometimes the dua is going on, and it's 15 minutes long. People making dua, Ya Allah, make this dua end quickly. Ya Allah, make this dua end quickly. Imagine Rasulullah ﷺ making dua for 6 hours on the plains of Arafah, and not just for himself, for the entire ummah, for you and I, that he's not seen. For you and I, he's making dua for us. On the day of Arafah, in the plains of Arafat, Rasulullah ﷺ was doing that. For you and I, we've got so many things to make dua for. Emancipation from Jahannam. Forgiveness of our sins. Whatever we've done. If we missed our salahs, we connect to Allah. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq to perform my salah. Oh Allah, I'm in an impermissible relationship. Make it halal for me. Oh Allah, I have sinned. I have sworn at individuals. I've taken other people's rights. Oh Allah, forgive me and grant me the tawfiq to make amends. See, one thing about our faith I mentioned, that we're not these cathartic rituals. There's no humiliation in istighfar. With others, they've got to go to the church, they've got to go to the Father, oh Father, forgive me for I have sinned. فِيمَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ It's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, it says a third party involved, yes, there are additional rulings because you've taken somebody else's right. But there's no humiliation within here. You're humbling yourself in front of Allah. Al-Azim, Al-A'la, Subhan Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhan Rabbi Al-A'la. Seeking forgiveness from him is easy. We've just got to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of Arafah is that blessed day. إِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُ His mercy draws close. Let's gain from that day. And particularly, let's not forget all the oppression ongoing in the entire world. Making dua for wherever the brothers are, our brothers and sisters, wherever they're being oppressed, whether it's in Kashmir, whether it's in Palestine, whether it's the innocents being brutally massacred in any place, and even the ongoing Islamophobia over here, people losing confidence. We make dua for everyone in all these scenarios. Again, 9th of Dhul Hijjah will be on Tuesday. That's the day of Arafah. Remember these spiritually empowering acts that we can gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And inshallah, Eid will be on that Wednesday. And on that Saturday, inshallah, we're having a community Eid festival, Eid day. It'll be segregated event on that day, on that Saturday from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. There are many families that are isolated. they've come from another country, migrated, or even families that are here, but there are many relatives surrounding them. So they spend Eid in isolation. But Eid is not a day of isolation. Eid is a day of commemoration, a community day. Eid is that, Rasulullah mentions one hadith, in the لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ عِيدًا وَهَذَا عِيدُنَا. Every nation has a day of celebration. This is our day of celebration. Now we can't do it on Wednesday because of practical reasons, with our volunteer, etc. So we're holding it on the Saturday. The closest day we can hold it to that day is going to be on that Saturday. So we encourage everybody to come on that day, especially making it memorable for the children. At least it'll be, we've got several things, themes that are going on for the children. Multiple, at least 25 to 30 stalls have been booked, alhamdulillah. But we need support. We're coming to the community, we're building this for the community, but we need your support, number one, to spread this message. And number two, we need individuals to come and volunteer, to help us run the day. These events are very demanding and requiring, whether you've got 400, 500 people attending, you need numerous volunteers on that day. We need skilled individuals to try and help us on that day. So individuals that are available on that Saturday, please come to us, to the management or any of the imams, to mention if you're ready, we'll add you to the group, inshallah, group of volunteers that can help. Remember, this is for our community. Yeah, every nation has a day of Eid. This is Wednesday is going to be our day of Eid. But for those isolated families, or even those families that are living in that are not integrated with the rest of their families, we live in a very individualistic society where people celebrate Eid on their own. They don't integrate with the rest of their families. At least the community can have an entire day for this. So we ask, we encourage all others to spread this message. And if you are ready to volunteer, please come to myself or the other imam or any of the committee members. Jazakallah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا